This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. And by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinath, thank you very much, and welcome inside WSMI Sports Saturday. And it's a super weekend, they say. And if you got $10,000 just lying around the house, you know, check the couch cushions. You can get yourself a seat at the 40-yard line in the fourth row for tomorrow's game.
Just $10,000.
Just $10,000. Okay. That's it. That's just for the ticket. Bad.
And what's the average price? Don Walker called up just before the show and says, what's the average price of a ticket for the Super Bowl?
What I am looking at right here, the average price, $2,941. That'll get you in the lower bowl about 30 rows from the field.
Okay.
Walker for $3,000.
Probably on his way down there.
I would think so. Why not?
Who do I need to make the check out to?
Roger Goodell.
Terry Tote. T-E-R-R-Y. Make it for cash.
Of course, I was looking at some of the prop bets. I always love the prop bets because
these are the stupid things.
These are the stupid things, exactly. Yeah. You know, like how long will the national anthem be, over or under 2 minutes, 10 seconds? And now, since so many people have messed up the national anthem, I know a couple years ago during the Super Bowl, I don't remember who sang it. I think it was Christina Aguilera.
It was.
Just forgot a whole sentence. Just cut it right out. So they had to void all the prop bets because, obviously, when you forget a whole sentence, it's a little bit shorter than it should be. So now they've got, will Alicia Keys, who's singing the national anthem, forget a word? Or will she add a word? You can bet on anything.
Yes.
For the Super Bowl.
Or, heaven forbid, will she do it right?
Well, that's doubtful. You can also make a bet on what color the Gatorade will be that they dump on the winning coach.
Now, Alicia Keys, though, I think she'll do an outstanding job there.
Startling thought, but probably we were sitting here saying, well, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Well, I think I got it figured out. The team that scores the most points will win.
That's deep right there. That is profound.
Yes.
I think that's a sure bet right there.
I think so. My favorite one on there, though, was how long will the post-game hug/handshake between the Harbaugh brothers last? Over or under 6 seconds?
Or will it degenerate into a fist fight?
Well, they are brothers. They are brothers.
I'm telling you, it could happen. Brothers
they
sometimes.
They got to put on a good show because they're in front of national TV and a packed house. So, you know, they got them.
That would be awful, though. Like, I feel so bad for those guys' parents because it's a lose-lose situation for them, really. Sure, one of their kids is going to win the Super Bowl, but the other one's going to lose the Super Bowl. And losing the Super Bowl, from what everyone says who has lost one, is just awful.
Yeah, but you're in the Super Bowl.
But I think you'd rather not get to the Super Bowl rather than lose in the Super Bowl.
I would say there are several NFL teams would probably take issue with that statement.
Yeah.
They'd probably like to have their chance, even if they lost.
Maybe. I would like to find out from like people who have lost a Super Bowl. So how'd that treat you?
Because you get
so close. It's not like getting to the state championship, say, in high school football, because that's something different entirely. But when you're a professional athlete and you get so close to that championship.
And there's so much riding on it within the organization itself, within the various contracts, your ability to earn money.
I think it was Shannon Sharp. I heard him talking the other day about losing the Super Bowl and how it's different than losing other games, because he says in the regular season and even the other playoff games, after the game's over, you know, you're kind of shaking hands with the opponent. He's like, in the Super Bowl, when it's over, he's like, they tape off the field and just usher the losers off, like, quickly.
That's right. America doesn't want to see losers.
We have no time for it.
No.
Get them out of here.
That's right.
But it's, it's a one-shot deal, one game. One roll of the marbles for everything, and two brothers. This has never happened before.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of.
And Tim, you talk about shuffling off the losing team. That brings to mind what happened last night at North Mac, where we were there on senior night, and a tough loss by the Auburn girls team as North Mac came from behind on Senior Night, Breast Cancer Awareness Night. The Auburn girls team was out there during the special ceremonies. What a class act.
Yeah, that was a great sign of sportsmanship.
That was a terrific sign of sportsmanship by the Auburn girls basketball team.
Because they had just suffered a heartbreaking loss. And what an unbelievable night of basketball it was last night at North Mac High. And Terry, we kind of hit on it during the broadcast, but the similarities between the girls' game and the boys' game were just downright eerie.
Well, first off, let's set the stage. Number one, it was senior night for both the boys and girls. The pink game, the Breast Cancer Awareness Night, where the North Mac teams were involved in wearing pink uniforms or uniforms trimmed out in pink. Packed house. By the second quarter of the girls' game, it was packed. I mean, there was standing room only. Great atmosphere. Terrific atmosphere. Two rivals going at it in the Sangamo Conference. The girls' game, North Mac was behind most of the game. And Lauren Pitchford basically kept the Panthers in the ball game with 20 points last night through three quarters. And it was just a matter of, well, is Molly Sloman going to hit her stride? Yeah. Fourth quarter, she did, hit a big three-pointer. And you and I both pointed out at the time that the momentum had switched when she hit the three-pointer and cut the lead, Auburn's lead, to 45-40. And then Molly went nuts in the fourth quarter and had 13 of her 19 points, and North Mac comes back to win it. Boys game, same way. Tayton Musil was the guy that kept the Panthers in the ball game. They were behind most of the game.
The whole time.
The whole time until the fourth quarter. And then, of course, Tommy Ulinski shows up big time in that fourth quarter. And it's the similarity of those games. And we don't get to do many girls-boys doubleheaders. And just to have both games being so similar, girls, North Mac outscored Auburn 21-9 in the fourth quarter. The boys, 20-8.
Right. Crazy. North Mac girls trailed by 11 at the half. North Mac boys trailed by 9 at the half.
Just the similarities are just so – it was just like a Twilight Zone episode almost. After you look back on, you're going, what did we just see? The atmosphere was just awesome.
What we saw was two of the best high school basketball games of the season.
Yeah. I would say they were number one on the list.
They were so competitive from the first quarter to the final horn of both.
And everybody
girls
was
and
into the game. Both fans' bases were into the game. Packed house. And North Mac did a great job with their senior send-off last night, and you know, the Auburn folks were very respectful of that, and even though it's you know, a hard-fought rival, it was nice to see the Auburn fans being very respectful.
It was, and I hope that this is something maybe that catches on around the area, a dual senior night.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no law that says senior night has to be the last home game.
Right.
So make it the girls' last home game, have that girls-boys doubleheader, and just honor the boys. At the same time, I thought that it just worked so well.
It really does. And it gives the girls a chance to play in front of a bigger crowd, which they don't oftentimes get to do till maybe the postseason tournament, you know. And it was just a wonderful atmosphere. And we really enjoyed ourselves last night. We, you know, this is what high school sports is all about. When you get the packed house, the cheering sections, battling each other, good ball game, two rivals going at a big conference game. And North Mac girls, with that win last night, ended up tying Williamsville for the Sangamo Conference title. So, pretty impressive.
Absolutely. So, there were two good games in North Mac last night, but there were some other games around the state as well.
Some wild games as well. At Greenville last night, the Comets squeaked by the Litchfield Purple Panthers 56-49. Eric Donahoe, Ryan Howard both had 11 points for the Panthers, who were in the game right down to the end. At Hillsboro last night, Carlinville got by the Hilltoppers 52-45. Kyle Kleeman had 14 points for the Cavaliers, who are now 16-9 on the season, 4-1 in conference play. Toppers got 20 points from the sophomore Dylan Miller. Nokomis continues to roll. The Skins beat Bunker Hill 76-34. Evan Huber at career-high 22 points last night. Skins are 18-8, 3-1 in conference play, and that means they have a lot of conference games down the stretch here. North Green beat Southwestern 57-37. Pena got by Gillespie 66-56. Staunton got 22 points from Billy Bartle and beat Vandalia 59-50 at Vandy, which is not
always
an easy place.
Place.
Yeah, not an easy place to win. Bulldogs now 19-6 and 5-2 in conference play. And as we mentioned, the North Mac Auburn score 62-57. North Mac boys win it. The girls' score was 53-49 as North Mac won it. So, and Williamsville beat Sangamon Valley 74-28.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to dive into girls' regionals as they will kick off on Monday night. We're going to talk to Rob Corso, the head coach of the Litchfield Lady Purple Panthers, as Litchfield will be hosting a loaded Class 2A regional. We'll talk girls regional basketball following these messages.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's Restaurant in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires, complete exhaust service, and heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's Crew Cab Rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. So when you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield.
And at 9:15, let's take a look at the weather forecast being brought to you this time by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Cloudy skies for today. Expect highs in the low 30s. Cloudy skies, there is a chance for some snow for tonight. Expect lows in the low 20s. Heading into Sunday, becoming partly cloudy, there is a chance for some snow on Sunday. Expect highs of around 30 on Sunday. At 9:16, we have a temperature reading of 29 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8 to 5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:17, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tone, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, and joining us on the phone right now, the head coach of the Litchfield Lady Purple Panthers, Rob Corso. Good enough to give us a few minutes of his time. And Rob, before we get into the regional tournament Litchfield will be hosting coming up beginning Monday, let's first talk about the regular season that was for the Lady Panthers. Of course, your first season on the job for Litchfield, a 20-win season. Just kind of talk about the season as a whole for the Lady Panthers.
Yeah, I think overall it was a pretty successful season. 21-6 is a good record. We thought that against like the Painters and the Rochesters and the Carlisles, we competed, but we couldn't win those games. But I think we got better. And I think right now, I think we're playing, especially last week, we're playing as well as we played all year.
And boy, that's so important to be peaking at the right time heading into the postseason tournament. And you've got a loaded regional tournament at Litchfield.
Yes, I think there's five teams that could win it, and everybody's seen each other a couple times. It's going to be super competitive. I'm really excited about it.
It's basically like just a mini South Central tournament, as basically every team in the conference is out of the South Central, and you've got to buy into the semis, so you've had a long layoff since your last ball game. I know when I talked to you at Gillespie last week, you were a little bit concerned about the long layoff. How has that worked out in practice for you?
Well, we gave them one day off just because the kids had some stuff at school with the midterms and things like that, but we've been working on some stuff, trying to make some competitive practices. I think the girls are pretty much tired of beating on each other. But they're looking forward to the challenge, you know, and you got to balance it. You know, we work hard at times, and we work on some shooting and try to balance it out a little bit. But it is tough. I wish we had a game Thursday, but it is what it is.
As you look at the pairings here, Southwestern gets the number one seed, Litchfield number two. The opening night on Monday has Gillespie taking on Carlinville, a 4-5 matchup, which is always kind of a wild and woolly affair. And then Hillsboro-Staunton in the second contest. As you pointed out, five teams could win this thing. And I guess going in, Rob, you have to remind the team that, look, you know, it's one loss and you're out, so let's not take anybody for granted.
No, we're not. And I don't want to make any disparaging remarks about Staunton. You never know. Sophie Fairman can do some damage. But, it's one game at a time. We're looking, you know, it's easy to look at this the brackets and say, oh, you know what, this thing could end up really good. We could go to Whitehall and do this and that and the other, but we got to get past Hillsboro. Our whole focus is on the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, and that's a very good basketball team over there. And I'll tell you what, we're going to have a handful Wednesday night.
Hillsboro's hit a funk here lately and have lost a few ball games, but you never know when that drought might stop and they get back, you know, on their game and be tough to handle.
Yeah, that was a little uncharacteristic. I saw some of the scores. I didn't see the game, but I know they dropped one to Nokomis. Not a bad club at all, but, you know, just Shelby Gray can light you up for 30, just be turning your back. And the Hobby Girl inside and Cameron, they do a nice job. And Kenna White also, I mean, you leave her alone from three-point land. So they're a handful.
And of course, Staunton, as you mentioned, Sophie Fairman, you know, the Bulldogs, Sophie Fairman is the kind of person that can put a team on her back and say, okay, here we go.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't look past them. And they, you know, they really have nothing to lose. You know, they can play loose. I don't know how much pressure the girls or our girls are going to put on themselves or any of the teams, you know, because it's just kind of interesting to see how it's going to play out. It really is.
Rob, of course, you've got a nice mix of seniors and sophomores, and when you get into postseason play, single elimination, a lot of times that senior leadership can be a difference.
Yeah, I think so. With Taylor Niehaus especially, she's been starting point guard for the last 3 years. She's was on our team when we had that run a couple years ago. And also Amanda Nevin has been on the team, you know, playing quality varsity minutes for 3 years. I'm hoping that experience pays off. And then the sophomores, even though it was at the middle school level, have played in some big games before. So I'm hoping that they'll, you know, take it in stride, be able to focus, you know, on the task at hand.
And, of course, we can't forget that school out there in the country southwest of here, Piasol, they can jump up and bite you pretty quick.
Yeah, a lot of different weapons, good shooters. When you have good guard play like they have, you're always a threat. You can control the tempo of the game. And Steve Woolley does an outstanding job over there. And, I mean, that's why they're the number one seed. They earn that, and they're a team to beat.
Uncle Ruff, I like how you say southwestern out in the country, like we're in the middle of a thriving metropolis. Yeah.
We're in the middle of a cornfield broadcaster, you know?
It always seems to me when you go there, you know, you go down there and you make a right and go back to the school, and it always just seems to me like, boy, we're out in the middle of a cornfield.
It's sitting by itself. There's no question about that. Rob Corso, the head coach of the Litchfield Lady Purple Panthers, joining us on the phone this morning. And, Rob, I saw you guys at Christmas time, and then I've seen you a couple times since. And to me, the evolution of Riley Scharf, really, since the Christmas tournament at Carlinville, is quite noticeable to me. She is taking her game inside. And when she's down on that block, boy, she is tough to stop.
Yeah, and that's something she's really adapted to this year. She likes to shoot the ball. She likes to face the basket out the perimeter. But she's tough to guard inside, and she's a little bit stronger, I think, than she looked. Not afraid to take it up in there. And we look to her, you know, and she's our number one option. And she doesn't mind that at all.
And it probably makes you smile a little bit while you're watching her to think that you're going to have her two more years.
Yes, that's very nice. And I think also she's going to develop some other skills too. You know, her passing, she's improved on it, and mostly the rebounding and defensive areas where, you know, at the middle school level you can get away with some mistakes and not be as fundamentally sound. You can't get away with that at the varsity level. And she's learning, and I really think she's done a nice job.
Well, Rob, it's going to be a lot of fun next week at the Class 2A Litchfield Regional. I have no problem saying that you guys would do a great job hosting the tournament, and we look forward to seeing you next week, and thanks for some time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it, gentlemen. Take care.
Yeah.
Rob Corso,
we'll have all
coach.
The games on from Litchfield next week. In fact, we're going to be at Litchfield every single night, Monday through Friday, for basketball next week. So it's going to be a fun week of basketball on the radio.
And it can't be overstated the job that Rob Corso has done with his crew this year. You can see they've gotten better from the start of the year to now.
Well, when you have a change in a head coach, you know, and even if you stay with the same basic scheme, there's always a few tweaks here or there, and it's just the ability to for the team to buy into that, and these girls have bought into that, and probably a lot of leadership for Taylor Niehaus, Amanda Nevins, he mentioned specifically, and you know, if those two hadn't bought into the tweaks, probably nobody else did, but they did, and you know, they just picked up where they left off. So kudos to Rob Corso for a good job this year, and boy, that. This is a loaded regional.
Yeah, Carlinville, Gillespie, the 4-5 game will be the first quarterfinal on Monday night. Then Hillsborough and Staunton will be the second quarterfinal. And those are going to be two competitive ball games.
Yeah, two great games. And there'll be Monday night two games, Wednesday night the semis, two games, championship on Thursday. So at Litchfield.
Looking at the lineup, I don't see any blowouts in there anywhere.
No.
I think it's going to be down to the last whistle.
And you know, this time of year, when you get into the big games and one loss and you're gone, this is where the defenses, you know, really play a huge part in the success of a team, because you may not always have that offensive night, but you're hoping that your defense can shut down the other team and force them into mistakes.
And you know, at some point in postseason play, one of your top players is going to have at least one game where they're in foul trouble.
Foul trouble.
So it comes down to two things. Can the player who gets in foul trouble play, say, with three fouls, majority of the second half, without picking up that fourth and half and go to the bench? Or if they do have to go to the bench, can the other players on the team step up and carry the load? Those usually wind up deciding regional games.
And each one of these teams, guys, has got a key player, which they cannot afford to have get in that situation.
Well, on Monday night when Litchfield was at Gillespie, Riley Scharf had four fouls to start the fourth quarter, and she started that fourth quarter on the bench. But Litchfield, at that point, they were down one, and they just seized control. So I would imagine that was a very big confidence boost for Litchfield. When you can make a run like that on the road against a quality opponent like the Gillespie Miners with your best player on the bench, suddenly, I don't know if everybody maybe relaxes a little bit or if they just maybe a switch goes off in their head and says, hey, we can do this no matter what.
Sure, sure. Well, and there are times during the year when just through the course of normal substitution, you play with a different lineup out there, and it's a fact that you're just used to everybody, and you relax, like you mentioned, you relax a little bit and just go on and play the ball game.
Well, Terran, you've done so many games over the decades, and I'm sure you've seen it throughout the course of a regular season where a team's best player basically goes through the whole year, never in foul trouble, never hurt, just always on the floor, and they're always there. And then you get into the postseason. I can remember when I was a freshman at Bunker Hill, Ryan Hanks was the point guard. Played every minute of every game. Great ball handler.
Yeah.
Good point guard. Regional semifinal, top seed at Bunker Hill, gets in foul trouble.
Changed the whole complexion of the
game. Changed the whole complexion of the game. Bunker Hill got upset, lost on their home floor, because he had been there the whole year. And then you get into crunch time, and he's not there. It makes a difference.
And perhaps, it sounds silly, but perhaps getting into foul trouble a couple of three times during the regular season is an opportunity for another player to step in and say, hey, you know, we can handle this. This is just part of the norm. This is just part of what happens in basketball. Some nights, you know, you're going to get draw more fouls, and the good teams are the teams that are able to either A, just survive it until the player can come back, or B, excel.
Absolutely. And we heard Rob Corso mention, we were talking to him a moment ago about the games against Pena, Carlisle, Rochester. They didn't win them, but they competed in them. And sometimes when you can compete against a quality opponent like that, it gives you that extra confidence boost to say, hey, we can do this.
Going to be a fun regional week.
Yeah, it should be. And you mentioned Pena. That's a very good girls' ball club.
It's an extremely good girls' basketball team.
They're solid. You know,
Charlie Led being back in the lineup is a big, big relief, I think, for Coach Ken Schuster and the Lady Panthers. It just gives them another weapon, and boy, it's almost like Charlie never missed a lick. I mean, she just stepped right in and does her thing.
There's probably been no girls team around the area that's had worse luck, whether it's draw or injuries, than Pena. It just seems every year they've got a quality team, almost a state-caliber team every single year, but yet something just always seems to happen to them about this time of the year.
Well,
I don't know why.
It's just crazy. That's just the world of athletics, and perhaps it's just the fact that it's a little more serious injury than compared to other teams, because everybody's dinged up this time of year.
Sure.
You know, you play a whole season.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have some sprains. You're going to have some problems with joints. It's just part of the game. But Payne has kind of been snake bitten a couple of times here couple of years. So.
They have, Tim, as you said, one time they run into T-Town. In 2006, they had to play Hillsborough in the championship of the sectional, and so they've had some big hills to climb.
But that's why they play the games.
That's
and,
right.
You know, you take your team out there, and it doesn't make, as Tony La Russa says, it's not who I don't have, it's who I have.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
And
here's your opportunity, step up, and let's play the game.
And I guarantee you, after next week, there'll be some teams on the sidelines that say, how did we lose?
That will absolutely be a conversation that takes place.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of those conversations is going to be taking place from one of those teams in the Litchfield Regional, because there's going to be a couple of deserving teams that don't advance past regional play. Southwestern, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Gillespie are all, if they don't win that regional, going to feel like it was a bit of an unfulfilled season probably.
You know, you put these schools in any other regional and – you know, they're certainly in the top echelon of the regional as far as seedings are concerned, most anywhere else in the state.
It'll be very interesting to me to see how Southwestern responds. They're so young, rely on freshmen at such key positions. How will they respond in their first regional game?
I don't think it's going to be a problem. I just think that Steve Woolley has that calming effect and has – You know, it's a confidence thing. You
right.
know, when he shows confidence, when a coach shows confidence in your kids, it boosts their confidence level. And I think he's just confident that he's got some players, and he's going to go with what's brought him this far. I mean, I don't think they're going to be effective. You know, Southwestern plays such great defense. Yeah. You know, they're just such pests on defense. They can just really mess with your mind.
they do.
You know, and they're Southwestern. Everybody has a circle around that game. You know, that Southwestern constantly has a target on their back. They're used to it by now. You know, after a full season, the freshmen are not freshmen anymore. They may be freshmen,
closer to sophomore.
Chronologically speaking, but they're not playing as freshmen. I'll guarantee you that.
And we talked about the success that the Litchfield sophomores had at the junior high level. Well, the Southwestern freshmen had the same type of success. They may have won multiple championships, but they were there.
They were there.
You know, they got the experience of playing at state as junior hires, and that's something you could fall back on that. I mean, it's different, but yet in some ways it's the same.
But there are some experiences as far as playing in front of a bigger crowd, maybe feeling a little more tension. The thing about it is once the game gets started, it's just another ball game. You have to remember that.
Yeah.
It's just another ball game. Let's do what we do, and let's do it well. And the teams that traditionally – you know, don't throw the ball away, or the teams that end up winning these ball games, because most everybody's going to shoot what they normally shoot. They're going to play defense. It's just taking care of the basketball. Can you take care of the basketball? If you take care of the basketball, say 10 turnovers or less, you're probably going to win the ball game. And in girls basketball, we've seen a lot of turnovers this year.
Think about the guard play.
Oh my!
In this Litchfield Regional.
Oh, you could every team.
Maddie Grilling for Southwestern, Taylor Niehaus for Litchfield, Shelby Gray for Hillsborough, the Gray Twins for Gillespie.
Bailey Schmidt for Carlinville. You know, that's –
And then Sophie Fairman, she's not a guard, but she can handle the basketball. She'll spend more time bringing the ball up the floor than anybody else.
Sophie Fairman will have a significant amount of time handling the basketball. She is just an all-around athlete. She is fun to watch.
And when you've got the best player on the floor, you've always got a chance.
Yes.
You've always got a chance. And that's what Sophie Fairman's going to be – basically, every game she plays in the regional, best player on the floor.
Uh-huh. She's something else. She's a tremendous athlete. So, anyway, it all tips off. February fever leads to March Madness. So, and of course, the girls' tournaments will wrap up on the final weekend of February, and the boys' seedings have been announced, and the pairings have been announced for boys' regionals, which start 2 weeks from from Monday. So, but the Litchfield Girls Regional, Monday night.
And then depending on how things shake out throughout the course of Regional Week, right. Stay tuned. We will probably have
more
Regional Championship games for you around the area, depending on how it works.
We're still deep in the heart of the boys' basketball season with commitments that we obviously have. So, of course, we'll have scores for you at 7:30 on Spotlight on Sports every morning, and you can always check our website for our broadcast schedule, WSMIRadio.com.
So. Put it this way, no matter how much we do, it's almost a guarantee that we'll be doing more than most other stations.
Yeah. It's what we do.
That's right. That's what we do.
And I had, went to this farm toy show at the Westport Plaza yesterday, and there are people from all over the country, literally all over the country, that come to this. It's the second biggest farm toy show in the country. We just had an opportunity to talk with people from around the country, and they were talking and asking about the radio station and explain what we did. And so, we're not the normal radio station because we do so many different things. And I said, well, what are you up to? What do you do? I said, well, I'm do this, and that. And by the way, tonight I'm going to Girard for the girls basketball game. We got a doubleheader tonight. They're going, oh, really? And I said, yeah, that's just what we do. We take advantage of – we have some great sponsors who come along every year to make the broadcast possible, and we are very fortunate to have some fun basketball teams to watch.
It was like last night, Terry. And I were fortunate enough to get paid.
Yes, we did.
For that,
paid.
Yeah. We got paid for that.
We got paid to do that last night.
My goodness,
it's almost like, wow, we're stealing here.
It felt like it last night.
Yeah, that was a fun night last night. That was a lot.
Well, you can put it in perspective pretty quick, guys, when you talk about. WSMI, the call letters say it all. We serve Mid-Illinois, and that's what it's all about.
And we have fun doing it. So, as I like to say, beats working for a living.
I second that.
Could be digging a ditch.
Oh, yeah, man. I could be doing all sorts of stuff that I sure as heck don't like.
Reminds me, I saw Matt Hughes in Subway last week, and he officially retired, and I asked him, if he accomplished everything he wanted to in the UFC, he's like, well, he said, that's a two-part answer. He's like, in one regard, he's like, I accomplished more than I could have ever thought. Because he brought that up. Yeah. He's like, I should have had a shovel digging a ditch. He's like, that's what I should have been doing. He's like, but on the other hand, he's like, there are a few more things I would have liked to have done.
Sure.
Yeah, well, I don't guess you should ever be satisfied.
Well,
and he wasn't.
Elite athletes are never satisfied.
That's right. That's what separates the elite athlete from everyone else, that drive.
And, the nice thing with Matt retiring is the fact that Matt still has a part in the UFC, in management, so to speak. But, maybe he's going to be around home a little more, and maybe we'll see Matt a little more, and that's good. That's good for the community.
Right. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm comparing Matt Hughes to Stan Musial, but in this regard, he never left.
No.
He was one of the most famous fighters, probably the baddest man on the face of the planet.
For a while.
For a long period of time, the baddest dude on the face of the planet, and he never left. Just like Bob Costas said during Stan the Man's eulogy, they never had to write a song like Where Have You Gone, Joe DiMaggio, because Stan never left. And to me, that's the coolest thing about Matt Hughes. It's not that he's left and came back after he retired. He was here the whole time, fighting out of Hillsborough, Illinois.
Yeah, and you could rest assured whenever, before the fight or whenever anybody interviewed Matt anytime, he always made a specific point in pointing out where he was from, where his roots were. He never forgot it. Nope.
One of the elite athletes from Hillsborough, and Ralph, that brings to mind, we heard the death notice of Ann Parola this week from Hillsborough. Yes. Our condolences to the Parola family, but just brings to mind Tony Parola, who passed away, I think, back in 1980. One of the most outstanding athletes to ever go through Hillsborough. I think won something like 10 or 12 letters. Was on an undefeated football team. Played for the U of I in the Rose Bowl win with Dick Butkus. Ended up coaching at Auburn, and cancer cut his life short. And I remember talking and meeting Tony, and just a terrific guy. So our condolences to the Parola family on the death of Ann this past week.
And if you knew Tony, and if you knew his mother and father, as I did very well, you could understand where Tony come from, because they were both quality people and a wonderful family, and they shall be missed in the community. Yeah, yeah. So our condolences go out to them today. And
but it just brought to mind Tony, and
yeah,
what a great guy he was. He was the kind of guy that when he spoke, and he didn't waste words, but when he spoke, you were spellbound by listening to him. He was a neat guy. So
it would have been interesting to see, had his life not been cut short, what he would have accomplished as a coach.
Oh,
I'm sure it would have been.
He was great successful in his the few years he had as coach.
Yes,
very successful. So.
And I'm sure he would just have added to that.
Yeah, he was an awesome fella. So anyway, just thought I'd bring that up. Just popped into my mind. So
he's one of them guys that if you needed 2 or 3 yards, you give him the ball.
Well, and I think he's one of only 6 or 7 people inducted into the Hillsborough Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Something like that.
I think you're right. And, you know, it was quite an accomplishment for him because not too many years before that, Stan Wallace, you know. Stan Wallace went on to the University of Illinois and then went on to play for Chicago Bears. So. Yeah. 2 outstanding football athletes coming from the same school.
Yeah. Oh, well.
With football in mind.
Sorry for the detour.
We want to send our best wishes out to Aaron Duff. He's been dealing with some health problems here the last few months. We understand that he is back home now. I think he was even at school one day last week from what I understood. So, Duffy, glad you're home and hopefully feeling better.
And Duffy's got a regional tournament that Hillsborough is going to be hosting for the boys coming up here in a couple of weeks. So we'll talk about that maybe a little bit.
Yes, the boys pairings are out, so let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll start talking boys regional basketball, which will be here before we know it.
Yeah.
We're back on Sports Saturday right after this.
Be creative. Impress your Valentine with breakfast in bed, made with fresh farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. Start with an omelet made fluffy with Prairie Farms half and half. Fresh croissants smothered with sweet, creamy butter. Help your Valentine wake up with hot coffee with Prairie Farms cream. Treat your Valentine to yogurt-dipped strawberries. Top this special meal with a crystal goblet of 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
The American farm family carries on the tradition of hard work and dedication to the land. This Farmer's Appreciation Salute is brought to you in part by J. David Hadley, General Carpentry and Building in Nokomis, Miller's Lime Service in Nokomis, by Save More Pharmacy and Gift Shop in Nokomis, Almond Realty and Appraisal in Nokomis, by Sarco Hydraulics in Litchfield, Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield, and Weller Farms in Palmyra.
Teamwork Rehab is proud to provide certified athletic trainers on the sidelines at each game to assess athletes that have been injured in the game or practice. Join Teamwork Rehab in cheering on your local high school sports teams through each hard-fought season. Teamwork Rehab is committed to the support of the local athletic funds in the area. Teamwork Rehab, getting you back in the game. A division of Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare.
And at 9:42, let's look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Cloudy skies for today. Expect highs in the low 30s. Cloudy skies continuing on for tonight. There is a chance for some snow. We'll have a low of around 20. Heading into Sunday, becoming partly cloudy with a slight chance for some snow. We'll have a high in the low 30s. Extend a look at the forecast now Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies, expect highs in the mid-30s. The lows will be in the mid-20s. At 9:43, we have a temperature reading of 30 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 1 minute.
Since 1899, 4 generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsborough, you do have a choice.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:44, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Jim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Coming up tomorrow afternoon, we will have Fighting Illini basketball for you as the Illini will be hosting Wisconsin. We'll have live coverage at 2:30 here on FM 106. We'll get into the debacle that has been the Illini here over the last month or so.
That's a good word for it.
Oh, my goodness. That was embarrassing the other night at Michigan State. But we'll get into that in a moment. But first things first, regional basketball is upon us. And, Terry, before we get into the boys' regionals, there's a few more girls' regionals.
At Auburn, this is a Class 2A regional. North Mac gets the top seed there. Waverly is number two. And I think North Mac has beaten Waverly a couple times this year. North Mac will get the winner of the North Green-South Fork game, which will be played Monday. North Mac plays Tuesday at 6, followed by Waverly against Auburn, and then the championship on Thursday. At Bunker Hill, this is a 1A regional. Terrific matchup, potentially, with top-seeded Bunker Hill and number 2 seed Nokomis. Bunker Hill gets an opening round bye. They will get the winner of the Brussels-Mount Olive game. Bunker Hill plays Tuesday at 6, followed by Nokomis against Calhoun, and then the winners play on Thursday for the championship. So
Calhoun is lurking there.
Calhoun is kind of the team that, well, if you don't pay much attention to them, they're going to win the regional.
That's exactly
you
right.
You know, that's just how they do it.
Sneak up and bite you on the back of the leg.
Well, I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I don't think
coming out of the Illinois River.
I just don't think they sneak up. They just go in and they say, okay, we can win this.
Yep.
and they're convinced they can do it.
We've talked about it before, guys, but that's, to me, is a unique setting where that school is.
Oh, yeah. It really is.
You're just driving along there, and all of a sudden, whoop, there it is.
Kind of in the holler.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, then we go to the boys' regional tournaments, which the pairings were announced yesterday. Hillsborough gets a 2A boys' regional tournament, and kind of a new look for the teams involved in this regional tournament. Litchfield Hillsborough both in it. Vandalia is in it.
Sure.
Greenville's in
right.
it. And then all of a sudden, Totopolis and Effingham St. Anthony are into the mix here at Hillsborough. T-Town gets the number one seed. Vandalia's two. And T-Town will get the winner of Monday night, February 18th game between St. Anthony and Greenville. Litchfield plays Hillsborough in game two on that Monday evening. And the winner there gets Vandalia on Wednesday.
So that should be a good match.
So we've got the potential for Litchfield Hillsborough boys and girls,
yes,
in the regional.
A distinct possibility.
Yes. How about that?
How about that?
I wonder if that's ever happened.
That's a for sure thing in the boys.
For
region.
Sure in the
yeah,
boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Hillsborough, of course, will be playing the Staunton Lady Bulldogs in the regional quarters. Yeah. Has that ever happened, Terry, where the boys and girls, Litchfield and Hillsborough, have played in the regional in the same year?
Yeah.
Not uncommon?
Not uncommon. If you go back over the years, it's probably happened half a dozen times or so. Yeah, that's not unusual. So,
but the interesting thing is, Hillsborough hosting the boys,
yeah,
Litchfield hosting the girls. That's kind of strange.
That, you know, hey, we like those close to home regionals.
Absolutely.
You know, those things are nice.
You know, like the girls regional, the format of that Litchfield regional to me is great. You got teams that you could just about throw a blanket over playing right there in that regional. They don't have to drive halfway across the state.
And you remember 15 years ago, maybe not quite that long, but they tried this
sectional complex,
which right. was...
That was a disaster.
Well, it was based on the fact that you wanted to make sure to get the best teams into the sectional tournaments, to fairly seed all the regionals and make sure that the best teams had the best opportunity to get deeper into the postseason. The drawbacks were, A, most of the coaches had never seen the teams involved in the sectional complex, and B, once you had matchups, you had teams driving halfway across the state and no crowds. So the IHSA went back to the neighborhood regionals, as I like to call them, and I think it's been much more successful. They have terrific crowds. I remember the regionals last year. We had great crowds. And I just think even if it's not the best way to seed things and so much isn't made of the draw, we've talked about it before, but it's still the best way to do it.
Absolutely. And we'll have one of those neighborhood-style regionals at Staunton the Class 2A Boys Regional. That's a very good localized regional.
Well, Staunton has played Roxana this year, and of course Roxana has dominated lot of teams this year. They're a very good basketball team, so Roxana gets the top seed, Staunton number two. On Monday night, the 18th, Southwestern takes on East Daltonwood River, followed by Carlinville against Gillespie. Here's a Carlinville-Gillespie matchup again. How about that? That's same year, girls regional, boys regional. Roxana gets the winner of Southwestern East Daltonwood River on Wednesday, followed by the winner of the Carlinville-Gillespie game taking on Staunton. And you know, if you go according to the seeds, Staunton-Roxana, but I've got to say that that's going to be necessarily the case, although the Bulldogs playing on their home floor certainly like that.
You know there's going to be an upset somewhere along the line, but that regional, clearly Roxana's to lose.
It is.
You know, I mean, they're better on paper and on the floor from the results this season than every team in that regional. However,
Nokomis beat them in the championship game of the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. So, and Nokomis is a 1A school, so, you know.
And Nokomis has no size this year.
And they
not only did Nokomis beat them, they beat a couple other pretty good teams on the way to the.
And Steve Kimbrough still says that's probably the greatest three-game stretch a team he's ever coached has had.
Oh, wow.
In that Litchfield Invitational Tournament that week.
That's a statement.
Played almost perfect basketball.
Perfect basketball. Unbelievable basketball. So.
Yeah, I was shocked when Nokomis didn't have any 6'10 players on. That was shocking.
Well, they didn't have the right PA guy.
I know.
So hard to find good.
That's right.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, if Duffy's listening, he's probably looking for a PA announcer for that Hillsborough Regional.
I've already been hired.
Contract's
been signed.
Contract signed. You sure about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I take care of that.
Will you be lip syncing anything, Tobin?
Absolutely not.
No, we don't want to catch you lip syncing there.
No.
At the Auburn Boys Regional, a 2A Regional, Pena gets drawn to Auburn this year. This is kind of this is a goofy mix here as far as I'm concerned. Auburn gets the number one seed. North Mac gets the number two seed, and that's a good matchup there as far as one and two seeds. But you also have Auburn taking on North Green, which is not too unusual, but you got Shelbyville and Meridian pulled into this regional tournament here, and they'll play in the second quarterfinal round game. So Penny gets the winner of Auburn Whitehall North Green, and Verdon North Mac gets the winner of Shelbyville Macon Meridian.
And from what we saw of Auburn last night, they're a four seed.
They are
in that regional. Look out.
Yeah, look out for the four seed.
But, of course, North Green, the five seed. Every year, North Green is just one of those things, like you said, off the air.
North Green, Carrollton.
Yes.
You know, those guys, they just beat up on each other all year long, and they're always good. They really are. At that Green County, it's, you know, it's their own little world over there. And that WIVC, they're good teams.
It wouldn't be surprising to me, honestly, if the winner of that Auburn-North Green game played for the championship. It really wouldn't surprise me.
Well, you know, Payne is a very good team.
Oh, absolutely.
And Gary Boker, come tournament time, Gary's got his team hitting on all cylinders, you know, and they're going to be to me, it's Payne is to lose. But if you're talking upsets, this is the one that you got to watch. This is the regional that could produce one of the biggest upsets.
And the Auburn-North Green teams, though, they're just, come postseason, they're just tough.
They're pesky. They, you know, they're in your face. They make you uncomfortable.
And especially if Pena gets Auburn on
Auburn's
Trojans'
floor.
Home floor, that could be a problem.
You're going to have a lot of I'm not sure Pena will have many fans there because the Auburn fans
are going
to
fill it up.
They're
going to
fill
right.
up the gymnasium.
All the Pena fans are going to be stuck outside.
Oh, yeah, you know.
In their cars and listening on the radio.
That's exactly
There'll be a lot of blue and white packed into that gymnasium that night if they play Pena. Man, that'll be a matchup.
I remember, this is kind of off topic, but it happened at Auburn. I hadn't been here very long at the station, and I was doing a regional up at Auburn. And Auburn, I don't remember who they were playing. But Auburn's warming up, and some poor kid for Auburn in the layup line just puked all over the floor, just everywhere. So the game was delayed like 30 minutes. They had to bring the powder out.
Yeah.
It was awful. But memorable, but awful. But I felt so sorry for the kid. Yeah. He's never going to live that down. That's going in the yearbook.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember the night you puked all over the floor?
It happens.
Hey, you never know what you're going to see.
That's right.
At a high school basketball
game. That's right.
You never know.
Let's go down to Class 1A in boys basketball. Lincolnwood hosts the regional. The Lancers get the top seed in their regional. Edinburgh is number two. And Lincolnwood will get the winner of the Morrisonville Pawnee game. Edinburgh gets the winner of the South Fork Mount Olive game. So, again, I think this regional is pretty much wide open at Lincolnwood. And then Nokomis gets shipped to St. Elmo. The Redskins are the top seed there. They will await the winner of the St. Elmo Beecher City game, and the Redskins will play in the first game on Wednesday night. So also in this regional, Altamont, Ramsey, Cowden, Herrick, and Brownstown. So if you remember, though, the last time Nokomis was at a regional in St. Elmo, finished second in the state.
Yeah,
that's right.
That was
the
first
year
of the 4A tournament, if memory serves me right. I think that was the year.
That's exactly right. And Nokomis is one of those teams, historically under Steve Kimbrough, they are a good postseason team.
Yeah.
You know, they just are. Some teams are built for the playoffs. They're one of them.
Talking to some North Mac and Auburn fans last night, Tim, and they were asking about Nokomis. And they're going, wow, Nokomis is just doing what Nokomis does.
Right.
He says, you know, Kimbrough's got him practicing there in the Christmas break, and here they come into to January, you know, and they're a whole different team. We're going, yeah, that's just the way it is, man. Yeah.
Have they? I don't think they've lost the game.
Don't think so.
Since Christmas. If they have, it's not very many.
And you talk about a game coming up on Tuesday night that's going to be a terrific matchup. We've got boys' games on Tuesday night, Lincolnwood at Litchfield, Nokomis at North Mac.
That is going to be a great ball game.
Oh, great ball game.
Goodness gracious.
Great ball game. Yeah.
And those are the types of games for both squads that you want an opponent like that towards the end
Absolutely.
Of the year getting you ready for regionals.
Going down the stretch. So important to be in that frame of mind. You don't want any easy games.
To me, that's what separates Nokomis from every other 1A school around the area. They play people. And I don't mean they play good 1A schools. They play 2A.
No.
They play 3. There was one point earlier in the year where they had played like 10 games. Like two of them were against 1A schools. They always play bigger schools, tougher teams, and then they get into the postseason, they get to play all these schools that are their size, and look what happened.
Well, I think Nokomis is 18-8 now, and I think all their losses are, there's what, 2 or 3 to 4A schools, the rest of them are the 3A and maybe a 2A school.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
And I don't think they've lost to a Class A school all year long. So I may be wrong, but I'm going to guess I'm probably pretty close.
Which says it's a pretty good bet that Mr. Kimbrough is going to have another 20-win season.
I would sure think so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would think so.
With 18.
But if we've learned one thing about Steve Kimbrough, he don't care.
Yeah. What are we going to do tonight, boys?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
But see, that's
what are we going to do with this possession?
That is the reason, the main reason, that Nokomis is so good year in, year out, game to game. Because of the mentality of their head coach. We always talk about it. A team reflects the personality of their head coach. You never see Nokomis too high or too low. If you watch Nokomis play, you cannot tell if they're up by 20 or down by 20.
That's true.
Because they play just as hard. Yeah. The whole time.
And if you don't play just as hard, you don't play.
That's what.
No,
let's just be honest.
You're sitting next to Kimbrough.
Yeah.
Your butt will be on the bench.
Yeah, bro's going to be talking to you.
Coach will have a little chat with you.
A little chat, yeah.
A
little chit-chat.
I'll never forget Nokomis was at Hillsboro, and Nokomis was dominating the game. Towards the end, Nokomis player had the ball, didn't even dribble at one time, called the timeout. Kimbrough threw the marker down. He's like, really? Not one dribble? Really? I'm like, wow.
Got his point across.
He did.
Yeah, he has a way of getting his point
Before
across.
Before we run out of time, very quickly, 7th grade boys state basketball tournaments at St. Joseph, Illinois, at St. Joseph Middle School. Mulberry Grove's playing Bradley St. Joseph at 1 this afternoon in the quarters. If they win, they play in the semis. In 3A, Southwestern's playing Burr Ridge at Winona. And if they win, they will play in the semis. So good luck to the Southwestern and the Mulberry Grove boys 7th grade basketball
Southwestern
team.
Southwestern has got some talent coming up the pipeline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The bird will be flying high here in another year or two.
Somewhere Jason Darr is smiling.
He is smiling.
One.
From grinning from ear to ear, don't you think?
I would think so. I would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else is new? Yeah, and Coach Woolley has to be smiling a little. You know, he's playing these girls that they've won 20 games, and they're freshmen, you know.
Yeah, 4 out of the 5 starters the last time I saw them were freshmen. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we've always talked about Steve Woolley, maybe like for state ballot. We all know how great he is around here, Hall of Famer as far as I'm concerned. He needs that trip to state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that this group of girls that are freshmen now
distinctly possible
might be the group that gets him there distinctly at some possible. Point over the next 4 years.
It is,
but
so
but they also, the thing of it is, such great teams around the area.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
You
so
know, the battle to get
tough.
Just through the regional alone will be a battle royale.
It's going to be a lot of fun beginning next Monday night. As Terry said, we will have every game from the Class 2A Litchfield Girls Regional beginning next Monday night right here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM 106. Real quick, Uncle Ralph, who's winning the Super Bowl?
San Francisco by a touchdown.
By a touchdown. Tobin?
Ravens by a touchdown.
Terry?
Don't care.
I knew that was going to be your answer.
The most overhyped event on TV.
That's
every year.
I can't disagree with that. I hate the Niners. I'm indifferent on the Ravens, but I got a feeling San Francisco's going to win.
Keep an eye on the AB commercial.
Well,
it's going to be
but
a
really,
tearjerker.
The real question is, how long will the national anthem take to be sung?
Well,
over or under 2 minutes and 10 seconds. That's what the people want to know. For Tobin, Terry, Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim. We are out of time here on Sports Saturday. You're listening to WSMI FM. Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.